This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for our Truth, Episode 331.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here is your host, making moles out of a groundhog, Keith Helsley. Solving all your problems and making your dreams come true. Somebody, please shoot me.
Hey everyone, this is your host Keith, and it's time once again for Quest for Truth. I'm kind of in a hasty mobile situation as I record this today, so hopefully I have a background fan noise to the minimum, but we'll see. I just wanted to touch base with a real fast, I guess, mini, you might call it a Sunday school lesson, or maybe a expanded devotional, something like that. I also wanted to remark that, of course, we are part of the Christian Podcast Community.org, and I'll insert some promos for that in a moment, but I mention that up front because, you know, if you listen to the community of podcasters, you have a lot of people with credentials. I mean, all kinds of degrees, and they've written books, and they're really smart at what they do. And then you have me, which I don't have none of that. But what I do have is a long track record of being a Sunday school teacher, and I have been a Sunday school director, and I have been a deacon, so I haven't been, I guess, totally without, you know, doing stuff. And of course, hey, we like around here to share the gospel message. And this is why we have our podcast, kind of our mission in a nutshell there, and some background. And I, again, say all that for a purpose to lead into, I'm kind of a pack rat when it comes to Sunday school lessons, and which is where the source material I'm going to talk about today largely comes from. I know somebody used to give me a CD that was chock full of Sunday school curriculum. And every quarter since, I've always made sure I either nabbed that disc or copied the contents to a hard drive. And I even had a pastor one time say, "Hey, can I borrow your disc?" And that was his words, "Can I borrow your disc?" And I said, "Sure." And he borrowed it. And he never gave it back. I'm like, you know, I need to have that back so I can copy the files over. Well, I already gave it away. It's like, it wasn't yours to give away. You said you were going to borrow it, not keep it. But anyway, I have, believe it or not, other than that disc, which I think I did get some of those off of there before he snagged it from me. Going back to 2006, believe it or not, so quite a lot of them, and I kind of call them my poor man's commentary, because if you don't have anything else, like a fancy schmancy preacher's commentary, hey, that'll do. It'll get the job done. But yeah, so I kind of have these resources, and someone asked, "Do you actually go back and read those?" Like, well, not all the time, but sure I do. And this is actually is one from spring of 2006, and this is called Living According to God's Truth, and it's based out of Isaiah. The actual background spans like six chapters. We're not going to do all six chapters, so we're just going to focus on, instead of going from Isaiah 24 to 31, we're going to focus on some important verses that are in chapter 28, going from about verse 14 to 18, I believe.
But first,
Quest for Truth is now part of the Christian Podcast Community at www.christianpodcast.org. www.christianpodcastcommunity.org, where you'll find other great shows and features like this one.
Hello, and welcome to the In Awe and Wonder podcast.
In Awe Wonder podcast, all one word, at gmail.com. The voicemail, the Google voicemail number set up where you can call and leave a message, 724-237-5319. My purpose statement, it really comes down to seeing the need and wanting to help, standing in the gap, so to speak, by helping women to grow in biblical literacy, discernment, discipleship, Christian living, and in awe and wonder of God. From there, my prayer would be that women growing in these areas would do something to share the gospel and to help grow other women disciples locally in their communities and churches and in the world. Thanks for listening. So, you can like, subscribe, and share. The blog page is www.kristen-hamilton.com. You can follow the Facebook page called In Awe and Wonder Podcast /blog. And you can do a search for the private Facebook group that is simply called In Awe and Wonder. You can follow me on Twitter at Kristen Hammond. Have a great day and keep reading your Bible.
My name is Andy Olson, and I want to tell you about Echo Zoe Radio. Echo Zoe Radio is a podcast outreach of Echo Zoe Ministries. Every month, I find a knowledgeable guest to talk about an important and interesting topic that affects the church today. We carefully balance the discussions of positive, God-glorifying doctrines of Orthodox Christianity from a mostly Reformed point of view with exposés of heresy, false teaching, and poor practice that goes on throughout the church today. You can find us at echozoe.com. That's echozoe.com.
Main topic.
And the goal here is that we should commit to live according to God's truth. And so many times today, people question the reliability of the Bible. They have opinions about the voice of the Word of God. And, of course, if you're in Christian circles, you definitely encounter that. But I would say, by and large, people don't doubt the Word of God, and they don't have these questions about the voice of God because they're not even hearing it, because they're just so lost in their secular world, they've forgotten that there even is such a reliable thing as the Bible. I want to borrow a little bit of commentary here to describe some of the historical situation happening here. The people at this time in Israel and Judah, they were dealing with looking for protection from Assyria, but of course that alliance would fail. Despite Judah's sin, God still loved his people, and he would call them back to him. They would restore them and destroy Assyria. And the thing here is to always trust in the Lord, because to trust in human forces will ultimately lead in ruin. Now, what I want to say before I get started with this first passage is, if you read this whole chapter, it's actually a condemnation of Samaria. Samaria is the northern kingdoms of Israel. You know, whenever, after Solomon's death, his son was really stupid, and he caused the kingdom to be split. And, of course, the northern kingdoms became known as Israel, the southern kingdoms became known as Judah, and Samaria, I think, was the capital city, hence the name of the nation as we know it now. And they are depicted in these opening chapters of being drunken. they used to be something back in the day, but they've gotten to be so dissipated and drunken. There's a couple of verses just before this. I think it's in verse 10. Where it talks about, it uses the phrase law upon law, line upon line, a little bit from here, a little bit from there. You know, a lot of times modern prophets like to latch onto that because this is how the word of the God speaks to them. Line by line, a little bit here, a little bit there. They don't realize that's talking about a nation that's on the chopping block. They're depicted as drunken leaders who are worthless and beyond their doing any good. And what those lines actually mean, I think this commentator refers to it being something of nursery rhyme. Is probably more like a drinking song. It's actually written in a poetic, more of a lyrical style. Another person that I know who happens to be, in my opinion, a little more authoritative on Jewish things like this, says it's something of an idiom. And it does mean that you're taking stuff out of context, in effect. You're picking and choosing what you want to believe. And so let's, as we go on, as we approach verse 14 here, we'll find that this has some relevance to reject salvation, or God's help, I guess, God's law, to the people of Jerusalem, because they also are depicted as being just as drunken and just as affected as the Samaritan rulers across the way. Because I think one city is on one hill, one city is on the other, as I recall from descriptions of it. And even though Judah isn't going to fall, they've already been affected by the drunken irresponsibility. So let's see if I can look here at opening things up here. It starts out, "Therefore hear the words of the Lord, you mockers." Now that in itself is pretty powerful, and it's very typical of Isaiah. And let's read the whole passage here. We'll discuss that more in a moment. But he emphasizes that this message is coming straight from God. In verse 14, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you mockers. You rule this people in Jerusalem, for you said, 'We have cut a deal with death, and we have made an agreement with Sheol.' When the overwhelming scourge passes through, it will not touch us, because we have made falsehood our refuge and have hidden behind treachery." Now, let's talk about a few key things happening here. Mockers. He's calling them mockers. Well, what's the big deal with that? Well, Isaiah referred to them that way because mockers is about the strongest word in the Jewish language to say just how utterly rebellious and anti-God that they were. Those who arrogantly believe their way is right. In Proverbs 21, verse 24, I'm going to read this. Before, by the way, I was reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. This is from NASB. All right, where was I? I had to got distracted there. Proverbs 21:24 from the NASB, New American Standard Bible. It puts it this way: "Proud, haughty scoffers are his name, who acts with insolent pride, mocking both God's way and those who follow God." In Proverbs 1:22 puts it this way: "How long, O naive one, will you love being sinful-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge." So you can see how the Bible puts it when it talks about people who mock or are scoffers. Let's talk about the phrase about a deal with death. What is that talking about? The agreement with Sheol, with the grave. The leaders had deceived themselves by choosing their own schemes rather than God's truth. For one, some people believe that the leaders had decided to handle it on their own, battle things to death rather than follow God. The second thing people, scholars, think this is referring to is that they had begun to worship gods of the underworld, hoping that those gods would protect them while destroying their enemies. They think that maybe they had developed a treaty with a foreign nation, most likely Egypt. But if that's the case, Judah's leaders may have had to worship those kinds of gods. But still others understand this deal of death to be a rejection of God, complete trust in their own human plans, alliances, armies. And Isaiah probably meant those last couple of ideas of translation there. But faced with choosing life and death, Judah's leaders decided to not trust patiently in God and experience life, but to trust in Egypt. The foreign nations might. So how ironic that someone who had a covenant with the living God chose a way that could only lead to death. There's the phrase, overwhelming scourge. This is an interesting one to me. It has a mixed metaphor. Overwhelm refers to being flooded, and scourge, of course, refers to a whip. So it describes the rain coming in, beaten by, you know, torrents of winds or hail, that kind of thing. And, of course, it just symbolizes the devastation that is to come. But the underlying point remains the same, that the Judah's leaders thought that they could get out of the coming doom under their own power, but they were going to fail. Just like a floodwater sweeping everything away, and the whip laying bare the skin on your back, they were going to be swept away. There are people in our nation today who are self-deceived. They think that, we have this thing called COVID virus. We can handle this on our own. We're going to develop a vaccine that's turning out not to be doing what a vaccine ought to be doing, because people are still getting sick with it. It's more of a treatment, a therapeutic, than an actual vaccine. They're going to do their own thing. They're going to force everybody to take it, whether it does any good or not. I mean, sure, I'm sure it does some good, but if someone's willing to take the risk, then why should you force them into that? But then you have people who are saying, oh, well, you can't do business here if you don't have this man-made thing that you don't want. You can't eat at our restaurant. You can't go shop at our store. The problem with that is you're totally cutting off an entire demographic of people. And it's not the people you might think you're trying to cut off. Because the going statistic right now is that the largest demographic of unvaccinated people are black people, not white people, not conservatives, not Asians, not Mexicans. So what you're saying is, get vaccinated or else, you black person. We don't want you in our stuff, in our store, you black person. Wow. Let's not go there. That's just not going to work. It's going to come to ruin in the end. There's nothing good that can happen from this man-made solution to this man-made problem, if you ask me. What we should do is rely on God's foundation. Now, I'm going to read these verses, but as I discuss them, it's kind of going to wrap up into a conclusion on us here. So let's look here at Isaiah 28:16 through 18. Therefore, the Lord God said, look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will be unshakable. I will make justice the measuring line, and righteousness the mason's level. They will sweep away the false refuge, and water will flood your hiding place. Verse 18, your deal with death will be dissolved, and your agreement with Sheol will not last. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, you will be trampled. Now, let's go back, let's discuss a few of these terms that show up here. Not all of them, but let's talk about the stone in Zion, because this is important. Because so far we're talking about when something is going to go bad. You're a drunken, worthless piece of stuff, and you don't know it, but you're already toast. Well, God is saying, stand by, because it's coming. But he does say, there's a stone in Zion. There's a solution here. Now, Bible scholars, once again, have a few things that the Stone of Zion typically talks about. There's like eight items here. One is God's law, the temple, a new king from the Davidic monarch, a new building project designed to protect God's people. It could mean God's saving work among his people. It could mean a faithful remnant. It could mean faith itself. Or it could mean God himself. Now, the stone seems to be more of a new work than something that continues out of an older work, which could lead us to eliminate a few things like God's law, a saving work, and God himself from, what does this mean, stone in Zion? Many people point to the fact he's talking about something new, possibly in the temple or a new godly king to new people's faith. Maybe a new building project, such as King Hezekiah's water tunnel, reference here in 2 Kings 2:20, but it could inspire confidence in God's protection. But let's look at this in 2 Kings 20:20. It says, "Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made the pool and the conduit, and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of Chronicles and the kings of Judah?" Okay, yeah, sure. I think that's all we really know about that conduit. But the thing is, it's a precedent. It's happened before. Maybe God's talking about there's going to be something to save the people from this bad stuff. But it's a morality thing. Oop, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Now, there is the topic of a faithful remnant. Is this what this is talking about? Isaiah 10:20-22, and again reading from the NASB, says, "Now in that day a remnant of Israel and those of the house of Jacob who have escaped will never again rely on the one who struck them, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return, a remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God." Verse 22, "For though your people, O Israel, may be like the sand of the sea, only a remnant within them will return." So, there's a destruction determined, overflowing with righteousness happening here. Now, let's go beyond Old Testament stuff, because in their mindset, you don't know what the future is. You just don't know. What is this Isaiah talking about? Well, if we advance to the New Testament, I'm sure you guys recognize verse 16 there. In Romans 9:33, Paul pretty much recites it just as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." And he who believes in him will not be disappointed, is the way Paul puts it. But even Peter uses the same imagery and states how Jesus fulfilled this prophecy in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 6. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accessible to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes on him will not be disappointed. Now, let me go on, but you can see how, hey, this is the answer. When these people who were doomed to only have a remnant left, they didn't know. But we do today. We have the benefit of looking back, and we can see that the answer here is not a physical stone, a physical thing. It is the gospel that Jesus brought. Let's continue on where Paul also described this cornerstone in Ephesians 2:20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, Jesus applied the rejected image of the stone to himself. We can find this in Matthew 21:42. Jesus said to them, did you never read in the Scripture? The stone which your builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord and is marvelous in our eyes. So Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of Isaiah's promise. The point is that in Jesus, God did something new by coming himself to provide us with a true foundation. And isn't that what we need to rest our lives on? The same thing that was predicted for Judah back then is the same for us today when we abandon what God's law teaches in the Old Testament, when we abandon the morality that we can learn and derive from that, things don't go well. And this is what's wrong with our nation today and the world, really, is that there's people have just so far abandoned God's law that they've become part of the problem. And the real solution, the only solution, is this foundational cornerstone of Jesus. Only he can solve the problems. I mean, a lot of the things we see and read and hear about in the news today, yeah, there's some dangers, there's some risks. You can get sick from COVID and possibly die. The risk of that is really pretty small when you compare that with the number of cases that are reported. But still, there's some risks there, at least of being sick, if nothing else. But despite those kind of troubles and hardships, with Jesus, he can get us through that. With Jesus, we can avoid a lot of that by living the right way. And it's just knowing what God's standards are to construct a good, solid life. It's all about justice, righteousness, right living. How often do we hear about that? Social justice. Everybody wants social justice. No, we need to have justice. We need to have what's right, not what we want to be right or we think might be right. So the question, I guess, to wrap all this up with is coming back full circle on the mission of all this is, how can we put justice and righteousness back in place in today's mixed up world? And that is where I'm going to leave it. This particular lesson goes on to some other conclusions, but hey, I don't need to read the whole thing. I think I've said exactly what I set out to say, is that this world needs the gospel, and we need to cling tightly to that. Don't listen to what the world tells you. Sometimes the world may get it right, but we need to filter that through God. Well, let's maybe slip in some promos from the Christian Podcast Community.org.
We live in a world whose primary concern is feeling good. Even some Christians think all you need to do is name and claim your rescue from strife. Yes, Jesus healed lepers. And yes, he rose Lazarus from the dead. But don't forget that Jesus let Lazarus die before acting, so God's glory would be shown. God will take care of his people. Just not always in the ways we expect or desire in the present. Countering the culture in our quest for truth, this is Nathan Caldwell for Countershock. Check out all we have to offer at the Life Truth Network, life-truth.com.
Unbelievers now have no excuse to misinterpret the Bible like they ever did. Interpreting the Bible has never been easier or less expensive. Get your copy of What Does It Mean to Me? This teaches and demonstrates the importance of biblical interpretation. Proper biblical interpretation is the difference between truth and error, life and death, heaven and hell. This is created for your sinos. That's your Christians in name only. Readers will stop asking, what does this mean to me? And start asking, what does it mean? Get your copy of What Does It Mean to Me at trackplanet.com or on amazon.com today. You want to get this before it's too late.
Alrighty, and thanks a lot for that word from Andrew Rappaport's ministry there, Striving for Eternity Ministries, where you find all those great shows there, ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. And hey, I got nothing left to say. Now, this is your host, Keith, signing off. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend about us. That really is how we grow the most. And let us know. Send us an email, and shortly you'll find out exactly how to do that. And hopefully next week or very soon we'll get you back in the studios and have some actual better recordings of the podcast for you. So thanks for listening.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HPNcast, capital H, capital P, capital N, capital C, AST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May God richly bless you. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.